Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Now on Triple M Footy.
Too strong, too good.
This is the Midweek Rub.
That is just brilliant.
How do you like those apples?
Triple M rocks footy.
Yes, another edition of Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, of course, it's exclusive on the listener app. Joey here with Daisy Damo. Dark, just another quiet week in the world of footy. Boys, Damo, good afternoon to you. We'll get all the Sam Mitchell news shortly, but it looks like you've had a big 24 hours.
It has been a bit on, Joey, and there's still a bit more to come as a result of what did happen yesterday. And we will do as we do on Triple M, and we'll dissect it all.
Daisy, we'll get your hero of the week in a moment, but I want to say hello to Duck, who's down the line today. You're down having a little breakdown at Anglesey, mate. And the mail I've got is you, the man of the people, caught the train down to Anglesey. You sat on a train with other people. Is that right?
I tell you what, it was a big kerfuffle. The kids and the family, or the majority of the family, were all down at Anglesey enjoying a weekend. I was coming down Monday, got down here, had a mate give me a ute, a dual cabin to test drive. Got down here, he said, mate, I've sold it, you got to bring it back. And I said, you are kidding. So I got up at 5 a.m., drove it back, and then thought, oh, you know what, I'm going to do the train rather than Uber. And then had to walk into Spencer Street Station, ask how to buy a Mikey card. Someone helped me do that. Someone led me onto the train, sat me down, put me mask on and had a kip. Got to South Geelong, and I was at Bounce to meet the kids before 10 a.m. So I tell you what, that was a little excursion that I'll not ever be doing again.
And, Joey, just before you got here, Duck was trying to hook up on this Zoom call he's got with Rabsy. And I've realised he's in Bill's pub,
yep,
which is a worry in itself. I've got no idea what's going on there. But then I heard, hey, Bill, what's the meeting ID number?
Oh, God.
It's dumb and dumber trying to get the technology going.
That is very true.
Have you had one of Bill's pubs yet?
I've been here since 10 o'clock trying to set this up.
The Bills Palmers, Joey. Rabsy and I went down before the big clash between the Cats and the Bombers. We thought we'd go and support Bill and his pub and get down there early, take the traffic out. And they told us to piss off because the kitchen wasn't open.
What?
Yeah.
Before a game
GMHBA. So luckily we knew someone down at Geelong. Jimmy Brown, who works in the catering department of the Cattery, bought us up fish and chips and Palmer burgers. So he saved the day. But Bill, come on, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. Hey, Daisy, nice let's pump. Get into it. Give us your hero of the round, please.
Daisy's hero of the round.
Yes, the hero of the round. Well, it's too hard to go past this bloke. 400 AFL games. It's a real easy one. The Silk. Not the best performance from his football club and probably not his best game he'll ever play either. But that wasn't the point. For him to reach 400 games in the manner he has, what he's done for not only the sport, but also off-field for the Indigenous boys as well, the legacy he's going to leave whenever it is he does retire. His 400 games can be my hero of the week, and it was a great celebration. I was lucky enough to be there. Loved the way the Hawks went about it in terms of celebrating the week that was. So, Silk, well done to you. You are the hero of the round.
Nice one. And Port did it well too, didn't they, given that was the only other club he'd played for. And the post-match and the pre-match, it was all just done very, very respectfully, wasn't it, the whole way through?
It was brilliant, yep. So, well done to him. And just a slight one on the back of it without notice. Will any other player get to 400 games?
Yes. Yeah, I think someone will. Yeah, I think as professionalism continues to increase and
game's not as taxing as what it once was.
Yeah, I think someone will. Yeah, but very
and
good.
And Daisy, just on that, I loved it. And well, you didn't have to throw in there that it wasn't one of his best games.
Look, I just caught as I said, Duck.
Okay. It wasn't though, Duck, was it?
No. Hey, speaking of the Hawks, we're going to get straight into all the news because it has been a massive 24, 48 hours with the announcement that Alistair Clarkson is going to be parting ways, really. And we'll describe what we want to call it after the break, Damo. But we'll get all that next on Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub.
This is the Midweek Rub.
I've studied the form for 81 days and the answer is we've got no idea.
Triple M rocks footy.
This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub. Of course, it's exclusive to the listener app. And Damo, it's time for your footy news because it has been a massive 24 hours. Obviously, we're going to get all the latest with the Clarko situation, Sam Mitchell, but You were in that meeting. You were one of the lucky few to be able to go into that the meeting that where the announcement was made. Can you just take us through it and talk us through your observations?
Yeah, it was quite bizarre, Joey. The text went around to a few people in media to get out to the Hawthorn Footy Club at 1 o'clock, and I don't know anyone receiving it before 12:20 or thereabouts. So you had a real quick window to get there, and of course you do drop everything to get there once you knew it was going to go on. But even as we did start to roll up, the players themselves were only just being finishing up, being told what was going to happen with that plan to effectively now take Alistair Clarkson out of the coaching position at the end of next year officially. He's contracted for next year. Sam Mitchell to take over for the three seasons beyond that. So, yeah, and then, yeah, they sat down and it was moments of awkward. There was moments of tension. There was moments of emotion. And, yeah, it's all been rushed. I mean, that's not to put too fine a word on it, Duck. The Collingwood decision to move Nathan Buckley out has basically predicated everything Hawthorn's done. Both yeah. Alistair Clarkson and Sam Mitchell admitted that yesterday. Daisy Mitchell himself admitted that he had the approach. Clarkson said that he went to his line of command, and then that was taken to the board about, we need to sort this out. And I still feel 24 hours on from the actual official and public announcement, there's as many questions as there are answers about it.
Yeah, look, there's always going to be differences in handovers. We know that the Malthouse-Buckley one was awkward because there was always tension there right from the end when Buckley finished his playing career. Daisy, you would know all about that. You were there. So there was always that type of tension. And the other tension that also occurred at Collingwood, which is probably different to Hawthorn as well, was at that stage, Malthouse was much loved. They'd just come off two grand finals, one winning and one losing, and we're on the verge of, you know, maybe going to another one. So a lot of differences where Hawthorn sit now and where probably Clarko sits with his group, having had the group for so long. But for me, it's what happens from here. Now, clearly Alistair Clarkson's going to be much sought over. But for me, with Clarko, just like it was with Dennis Pagan and Mick Malthouse, who went to Carlton, Damo, the one thing, and Clarko rules with an iron fist to a degree, and I don't know how much he's mellowed over the years, but certainly when he got to Hawthorn, he had a very young group and he moulded them, just like Pagan moulded us, just like Malthouse moulded Collingwood. You mould this young group and they say jump and you say how high. You do anything for them. But if you go to a group that already has some old heads and some experience, you don't want to put them off. And I'll use Pago as an example when he got to Carlton. Kuta Fides, bang, clash straight away. Kuta had never had anyone speak to him like Dennis Pagan spoke to him. Mick Malthouse gets to Carlton as well. Funnily enough, both Carlton. He gets there, he tells a few players a few home truths. They don't like it, Damo. There's the new generation of kid doesn't like a certain way of, I guess, being spoken to. Now, has Clarko mellowed in that way? Is he a little softer with the kids? I don't know. I can't answer those questions. But there are a lot of things to play out just yet. But I'd be buyer beware. And also, as good as Clarko's been, if I was him, I'd be making sure that I go to a club that I can mould. And that he may be better off at a club like the Suns or someone with a really young group that he can take from really, you know, from youngsters, just like he did at Hawthorn, rather than go to a group that's already got some senior players that you can't mould.
Yep. Look, we're all forced to now analyse what happened because it was done on the run effectively. And look, I have reflected upon what was said yesterday, Joey, and Days and Duck. There was as much not said as there was said about Alistair Clarkson being there next year. The right things were said about, I've got a contract, my heart is here, it's all I've known as a coach. I owe even some of my word to players who I've recruited and drafted to stay there. But the connection has now been severed. There's an end game for Alistair Clarkson. And it wasn't a statement that he said that looked down the barrel of the Hawthorn Footy Club camera and said, I 100% will be here next year. He didn't say that. He actually put a few riders on, right here, right now, I will be, but who knows? And even Jeff Kennett said it as well. We can't deal in hypotheticals, but we will deal with it if that happens. And I now expect that to happen, and I'm not going to speculate on what club it could be. Collingwood, obviously, Carlton reviewing, and the other club Duck mentioned is another candidate. But let's move back to the Hawthorn side of it.
He clearly wants to still coach. That's the one takeaway out of that. So it's not going to be at Hawthorn for the distant future. So I would see now that if you know you're not going to be there for too much longer, why would you then hang around in that sense? I just think succession plans as they are, the longer they go on, the more awkward they get, the more toes you step step on, and especially when it comes towards the end, when the handover is almost happening, it becomes very tricky. And to Duck's point down at the Pies, the thing they made, there's big fat in the background. Go away, Bill. Yeah. The thing that made the Buckley and Malthouse one difficult was because, yes, we played for Mick, but that was not, relationships aren't everything in that regard. It was the success. That was the one thing. We'd been to 3 grand finals in 2 years, effectively, and then it was like, well, why would we upset the apple cart? Hmm. Bucks came in and obviously wanted to do it a little bit differently, and it didn't quite work out. So there's a senior blokes and a senior figures, as you were saying, Duck, that's when they start to get out of their nose out of joint a little bit,
yeah.
And that's when it doesn't work.
You had the success, though, after the announcement of the succession plan. That was announced in 2009. Obviously, at the end of that season, then the recruitment of Darren Jolly and Luke Ball were crucial to then winning the 2010 flag, and then you nearly went back-to-back, obviously, in 2011. That's similar time frame, 18 months out, is what Alistair Clarkson.
Did it always feel like Mick Malthouse's team? Or was there always this element as players that, well, hang on, Mick's our coach, but we know it's Bucks' team because he's going to take over? Because how did that play out? No, because from my perspective, looking at this one going forward before I get your take, is I think as the dust settles, Damo, it's going to feel harder and harder for Clarko to stay on as coach.
That's my take too, Joey.
I just think it'd be messy thinking, well, Clarko's the coach, but really it's Sam Mitchell's team now. And the one that caught my eye was that they had a 20-minute chat about, okay, so you'll do the tactics. Hey, Mitch and you do the list management recruiting. Okay, let's move on. I found that
20
bizarre.
Minutes,
I would have thought and if there's then a succession, it would be a whole day where you'd even go and have lunch, spend the day together.
Seminar.
A big seminar about what's it going to look like, what's our philosophy. It was a 20-minute, it's your team, or I don't know whether it was Clarko telling Mitchell how it was going to be.
Both referenced this 20-minute chat, and that's all it's been between the two of them in isolation.
20 minutes just saying, g'day, how your day been, let alone trying to work out the succession plan.
At the Pies, it was my understanding that Mick was a dominant enough figure that he said, it's my team until it's not.
Yeah.
So until this time and date, it is my team. I'll do it my way. Yes, you be your assistant. You do what I tell you to do as an assistant. And then at the end of that, we will hand over and you can go
so
about whatever way.
So do you think that's the only way it could work with Clarko? Is if he wants to coach for 2022, he says to Mitch, hey, Mitch, this is my team. You go and coach Box Hill. You go and be assistant. This is my team. But is that the right? Is that how it would be?
I don't know. And the more you think about
it,
the more awkward it almost gets. And you can't see Clarkson being the figure is, happy to just sort of be like, I'll be the, Mitch can be my puppet master almost, and I'll just do what he says.
He's not wide that way, is he, Dave? He's wide in a way that has him being the main man and the competitive beast that he is.
And that's why he's been a successful coach.
Yep.
Because this is what we're doing. We all fall in line and we're determined and dogged to do it that way.
The big difference between the two guys is that clearly, the handover between Malthouse and Buckley, they're in a premiership window, a massive premiership window. So Malthouse would want to obviously say and be fair enough in saying, this is my team until you take over. Whereas it's very different here.
Yep.
They're in a developing stage. So that's the big difference.
Yeah. Does that then make it easier to walk away from too, though? Because if you're threatening for a premiership, Mick Malthouse would never, if there was another offer, which was the Blues in the end, would never go, I'll come now, where their list was. So for Clarko, I think that's
a really good point, Dave. And Joey, just sometimes you just have to absorb the situation just factually, don't you? And just take a breath over it.
Yeah.
There's only 4 coaches in history who've got more premierships as a coach than Alistair Clarkson. There's a lot who've got 4. He's one of those 4. But there's only 4 who've got more. And here we have his club. After 17 years, effectively telling him that your 18th is going to be your absolute maximum time for us. And you just need to absorb that. This is one of the biggest coaching decisions made by a club in the history of the game. And it's not overcooking it to say that.
We also had a guy, and sorry to go back here, but we do hang everything on a premiership. If we're the Premier English League, then we'd be talking about Ross Lyon as a 3-time champion, sitting on top of the ladder 3 times that he'd coached, and yet Fremantle let him go not all that long ago as well. So, we can sort of look at those bigger things rather than look at everything around it.
Yeah. In a word, Damo, do you think this has been rushed? The whole thing has been rushed?
Yep. And they admit that. That's on the back of what they told us yesterday. I mean, you say it's rushed. Jeff Kennett said yesterday, it was only 2 Mondays ago, they met as a board to discuss it for the first time.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, but that doesn't make it right or wrong either, by the way.
It is rushed. Time will tell.
Time will tell if it is too rushed.
And I'm still waiting to hear from someone to tell me why they think Sam Mitchell is a good enough coach to take over from one of the greatest coaches of all time. Tell us. I know we all know he was a superstar player and he's got a great footy brain. We can all agree with that. But there's, as we've spoken about, Duck, there is a lot more to being a senior coach than just having a good footy brain and being a superstar player. So I want to hear what traits Dan Mitchell has shown to say we believe he is going to be a better man going forward than Clarko. Is that fair?
And I did write an article about this, by the way, 4 weeks ago. But the other... taking over from a coach like Clarkson, like Malthouse, like Lee Matthews, like Voss did, it is fraught with danger. Mm. It is.
Yeah. Do you ever know, though, Joey?
No, you didn't know.
Hawthorn didn't know when they got Clarkson
exactly
in.
Exactly right. We don't know.
The Bulldogs didn't know when they got Malthouse back in the 85. Yeah, you know, no. So you never know. No. So
that's fascinating.
That's the part of it too.
And to all their talking points, every coach, even like a Michael Malthouse, says, and you're never ready.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
So there's two probably outs for the
It's been fascinating, and we'll keep talking about it. But before we go, I just want, in a word, will Alistair Clarkson be coaching the Hawks in 2022? Yes or no?
No.
No. Ooh.
No.
All right, there you go. No, I don't think he will either. Yeah. Fascinating. We could talk all day about it, but we'll have a break. We'll get into Ducks Dive. Quick five after this on Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub.
This is the Midweek Rub.
Did you guys ever captain? Oh, no, but I did anyway.
Triple M rocks footy.
This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, and it's now time for this.
On the Midweek Rub, it's time for Duck Dive.
I'm good from the waist down.
Quick five.
Righto, I'm going to have to open the new ball with this one again, Duck, because I've done it 2 weeks in a row, and after what's happened, I have to ask you again. Do you think the West Coast Eagles can win the premiership?
Yes, I do.
Don't be so stubborn.
Yes, I do. I'll tell you why. Because I believe any side that makes the eight can win it, and I still think they'll make the eight. And by the way, guys, guess what? Footy's back in Perth.
Don't start.
Don't go there.
It's back in Adelaide and back in Brisbane.
Are you more convinced about the Swans, Bollocks? I know you haven't been a huge sort of rap for Sydney this year. What do you think of the Swans now?
Oh, I've copped a bit of feedback. I said that they were the only side in the eight that I didn't think can win it. Yep. Well, now I'm saying their best is good enough, clearly. I mean, they've shown now that on their day they're capable. They're going to play finals now, Joey. So, you know, I think, can they win it? Yep.
Yep.
I'm prepared to change my mind on that.
Okay. Now, that sort of leads me into the next question. I've already got a feel where you'll go, but are you concerned at all about Melbourne? I know you'll say, well, they can still win the flag because they'll play finals, but because if they lose tomorrow night, they will most likely be out of the top four and might find it hard to actually finish in the top four with the run home that the other teams ahead of them have.
Yeah, the concerns are, and I know you guys will think the same, it's forward of the footy, isn't it? It's going inside their forward 50, their forward line. They clearly haven't got that right, and that has dried up for them. We know defensively they're very sound. Mids are as strong as ever with Gorn and everything else. But just that connection now going forward, what is the right mix? They have to find that. But they've still got plenty of time to find that, Joey. We know they're in good form. They've had a little flat patch. We don't know what sort of training load they're doing at the moment. We hear about that all the time. We're not inside the four walls. That's the only thing that's concerning me, getting that forward mix.
Is it a dip in Melbourne, Daisy, or is it a concern?
No, it's a dip. I'm completely fine with having a dip. I don't think that Port Adelaide, with the example, they hummed from the first round last year to the end of it, and then as soon as it came to finals, they dipped then. You'd rather dip now, sort of, if they are in that trading load, and then you sort of spike again.
They lost a prelim by a kick.
Grand finals.
Well, so they were first, and then they didn't finish the season first, so they dipped. If you were going to be first, and then you're not first at the end, that is a dip.
They lost a prelim by a kick against the greatest team we've seen.
Did they spike or did they dip? Yeah, they dipped. Okay, very good, Dale.
Next question then. We'll stay on that theme, Duck. Who right now, as of today, do you think will finish eighth?
Who's there now? GWS.
GWS are in. The Giants, Richmond are half a game out, and Fremantle. And then the other teams
St. Kilda
are
half a game
and St Kilda
out.
As well.
And then the Bombers and the Blues.
Can't be St Kilda because Duck ruled them out in round five.
GWS.
We'll make it. Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
What about Darcy Parrish re-signing? What are your thoughts on Darcy Parrish? Do you see him as a top 10 midfielder in the game right now?
Top 10, haven't given it any thought. Obviously, a question without notice, his form right now is in top 10. But is he a top 10 midfielder? Probably, it'd be around the mark.
Yep.
I would have thought he's won three individual medals.
Yeah, yeah.
No one else gets to win because we never played in those games, Joey. So I don't think they should ever go on your honour roll, given that no one else can win them. But no, he's in very, very good form, and great news, obviously, for the Bombers, given that they've another 2 years out of him.
And Merritt also re-signing 2 weeks earlier. And
well, he's just as important. I'd argue Merritt's a better player.
More important, yeah. And the other one I think equally important for the big picture, and I'm not going to say he's in the same conversation as quality, reliable quality, but Jake Stringer needs to sign, I think, for that Bomber plan to keep going.
Yeah, he will re-sign. I know there's been this talk. He will re-sign. They're just haggling over how much he gets and how long, and that's fair enough. You want to try and, as a player, get as much as you can and get as many years you can, and the club want to do the opposite, and you meet somewhere in the middle. So I think he'll re-sign, and he just needs triggers.
He just needs triggers.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he? Because it's no doubt he's probably having his best season to some degree in a year he's out of contract.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. And just lastly, Duck, I want to ask about Steve Hocking. Of course, I'll get Damo's thoughts in a minute. But stepping away this week from the AFL, do you think he's left the game in a better state? I know you've got some, you know, differing views on modern football. What are your thoughts?
I'm not sure yet. It's a small sample size, Joey. So I can't definitively say yes or no to that. I would have liked the only rule that I would have liked to have come in, given we've changed so many, is that we don't pay a mark if you kick behind, and it has to be a 20-metre kick for it to be a mark. I'd like to see that. I think we see too many dinky little kicks. So I would have preferred him to bring that in rather than maybe a couple of the others. But once again, we don't know yet. So I'm prepared to, you know, sit and wait on that. But he's a great guy.
Yeah.
He's professional. He'll do a great job at Geelong. I think what's more fascinating is who will take over from him, to be honest.
It is interesting, isn't it, Damo? Because he's done a great job. I think he's done a pretty good job. But when you then sit back and think about it, you go, this is one man who's come in, he's significantly changed massive aspects of our game, and then he moves on. Mm. And I know that's sort of how it works. But when you think about it, you're like, so a guy's just in that role for a certain number of years.
Yeah.
He can change the whole look of the game. And then he steps out and goes into another role, and we're sort of going, and now the game's in that place. Because, you know, I mean, I know that's how it all works, but it is fascinating when you think about it, you know, the responsibility of one man, and then they can move on and go and do something else.
But surely there's other people involved that touches many hands. I would assume so.
Who else?
Well, surely they had the committee, the rules of the game, the competition committee hardly had any. No, they've got nothing.
That's just a name and title only, and it's internal. There are internal people, but look, the fact though, Joey, that he's going from that job to go to a club CEO role, and for that new job to be less stressful than the one he's leaving, I think that answers or at least explains why he only lasted the 4 years by choice, or five seasons as it was. And look, I'm with Dark. The 666 after each goal, I think it gives clubs scope to score. And the other thing, the standing on the mark thing, I know it's got a lot of criticism, and I know some people in this box don't like it, but I like it because it gives the clubs the chance to play on if they want. They choose not to now. They've been coached not to, but the fact that they can, that they weren't able to do that until this year.
Yeah, just fascinating. The scoring still hasn't gone up after all these changes and everything else they think. It does look a bit more open. We agree with that. But scoring, which is everyone saying is the biggest issue with football, and it's going to lose fans and all these things, scoring, which I always felt it hasn't gone up, and it's probably never going to go up. If anything, the way defensive mechanisms work, it'll probably continue to be on a slight decline. But I think we just have to get our heads around that is what AFL football looks like in the modern era. It's not played as a random 1v1 without structure anymore like it was for 100 years. But anyway, all right, that's good. We'll look ahead to next week's games after this, Daisy, because it's another big round of footy, and we'll take a look back at our certainties from last week.
This is the Midweek Rub.
Don't worry about me running out of material either.
Triple M Rocks Footy.
This has been Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub. Been another good session, and we'll do it all again next week. A lot of chat on Sam Mitchell, Daisy. It's been a big week. But so we want to go back to last week, take a look at our certainties, because, Duck, you took Port Adelaide. Damo, you had the Cats. Daisy, you took the Bulldogs to beat North Melbourne. That was your most conservative one of the year. But unfortunately, I had too much faith in the Dockers. But I'll be tipping the Hawks to beat Port Adelaide.
Nice.
I will then take Fremantle to beat Carlton. I think the Dockers are playing some really good footy. They should have won, Freo. They should have won. They had all the indicators go their way. They just couldn't kick straight. But unfortunately, I got that one wrong. Have you been pleased with the Blues, just quickly, Daisy?
I have been. I've been more pleased. The fact they've actually turned it around and done something, shown that they've actually implemented some change has been really good to see.
Let's take a look at this weekend's games, because it is a big weekend of footy, starting with tomorrow night. This is a huge game, as we touched on with Melbourne. They could potentially be out of the top four if they lose. Port Adelaide can almost sew up a top four spot. Who do you think will win this one, Damo?
Well, if no one else wants to take a certainty in this game, I might do so.
Really?
So I'm going to take the power.
The certainty
of my rounds, yeah.
On what basis? What do you like? Or
well,
you
there's
more...
no basis to this segment, is there? I just don't want to have a $1.02 chance like Daisy did last week.
Fair enough.
The Bulldogs D's, against North Melbourne.
So you're taking power over the D's?
Certainly.
I am.
I think they'll win it. I like the power in this one. I think at some point they have to get a scalp, and I think they're just starting to work into it a little bit. They find themselves in the four. If they're to be taken seriously, we've said this a couple of times, this is a game they need to win. Otherwise, they've beaten no one.
And, Duck, that decision I've made on Port Adelaide is inclusive of Ben Brown playing for Melbourne, which will happen. So I like that from a Melbourne perspective, but I still think Port will get the job done.
So, and 100% capacity as well. So that'll make a big difference.
I think Melbourne will win. I'm still sticking fat with the D's.
I'm going with Melbourne as well. I still think
they're the best team in the competition.
Do you really?
Yeah, I think so, just. Give them another. They have to win tomorrow. If they lose tomorrow night, I think I'll change my view. But
we're so quick to write teams off. They won the 10 of or 11 of their first 10.
11 of their first 10.
Yeah.
That's good effort.
That's very good. And they're going to win 8 of their last 5 on the way home and finish with an all-time great record. That's why I was very bad at us.
Go on, Duck. What are you looking at? What game are you looking at?
Can I take because it's the – is that the Friday night game, the Bombers-Crows? I should know that by now.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to – can I take the Bombers as my certainty over the Crows? I think that the Bombers will get the job done.
Been playing well enough without a win.
Yep.
Can I cast your eyes forward to Monday for my certainty?
No. No.
I'm going to take the Kangaroos.
You are not.
I said it yesterday. I'm declaring the Kangaroos this week.
Really?
Really?
They should have beaten the Bulldogs. All the indicators that we speak about, contested ball, inside 50s, centre clearances, all the good ones.
But and the only metric the that matters is the scoreboard.
Well, yeah, and how
about 38 points behind?
Well, the Eagles were 92 points behind, as we say, Tommy Duck.
Wow.
The scoreboard was not in their favour either.
Well, all right. If the Kangaroos do win, then I'll have to ask Duck again next week whether he thinks the Eagles can win the flag.
But then they've got Adelaide to come after the Kangaroos.
Yeah, and then the Saints and the Gold Coast.
Yeah. I think the other interesting game, Carlton-Geelong, Saturday twilight MCG. We know the Blues are playing better. Cats without Jeremy Cameron. But I think the Cats will win that one. They're my certainty. I'm going to stick with Geelong. I know they're missing Jeremy Cameron, but I think sometimes we overplay the when players are out. Teams still win, and I'll go the Cats.
They made a grand final without Jeremy Cameron.
Yeah, that's right.
Year,
yeah, yep. That's so right.
They were poor for the first month this year without him, though, including their
Tom Hawkins just took up the slack as soon as he went off.
Yeah. I think Tom Hawkins remind everyone why he's the best key forward in the game still. Just quickly, the Dogs and the Swans is a really fascinating game on Sunday. We just want to touch on, I know the Dogs are humming. Can anyone see Sydney giving it a shake?
I can. I won't be brave enough to tip them, but I can see them being competitive for a long time.
Yeah. This is a 50-50 for me. Only the Dogs because it is here, isn't it?
Yeah, it's at Marvel. Although the Swans have won 4 of 6 at Marvel Ducks. I know, but
the Dogs also play very well there. I'm going to go with the Dogs, but don't be surprised if Sydney wins.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what impressed me at Geelong with the Sydney game. Buddy Franklin looked sharp. He was taking marks that I haven't seen Buddy take for a long time with his hands out in front, sticking them. He's still got a nice leg on him. Bud's still got a bit to play out this season. Don't worry about that.
No Norton too for the Dogs.
Possibly. And no chance. Hey, this has been another great show. Well done, guys. Thank you, Damo. Thanks, Duck. Get back to your holiday at Anglesey. Daisy, get back to doing what you need to do. And, of course, don't forget you can listen to every game across Round 17 on Triple M and the Listener app. And starting with tomorrow night's huge game between Port Adelaide and Melbourne from 7 p.m. from the Adelaide Oval.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks footy.